Country Pop FM.
I don't know. Do you have party favors at tailgate parties? Do they bring out the party favors, the horns, and the various things?
That I never saw.
No.
It would have been a nice addition. But.
I love those party favors, the ones that when you blow them and they come out and they stretch out kind of like an elephant's trunk.
Right.
So what time is your dentist appointment? Do I need to do the Bob-a-thon today?
No.
Okay,
that's why I'm leaving here at 10.
Thank God.
And then I'll get there in time.
Okay, it's today's Bob Almanac. And we have a Bob Almanac Rewind. I didn't bring out the rewind sound effects, but I think I really need it here. Where is it? I got it. Bob Almanac bonus track. Here we go.
Bob Almanac Rewind.
I put it on my little screen, but I can never remember it for quick reference. So yesterday we had, Barry Corbin, right? Remember the birthday Barry Corbin, the actor?
Yes.
We had the clip from War Games. And he was a Northern Exposure, and I said that he indeed was in Yellowstone, but I had his character mixed up with another one, and Mary from Florida was nice enough to point that out, that Roger Corbin, for you Yellowstone fans, actually was just in one episode when Jimmy went down to the Four Sixes Ranch. Roger Corbin played an old cowboy. Grizzled old cowboy. There was another character in another series of episodes that played Wade, who was a neighboring rancher who was working with market equities and, you know, trying to, get into the kitchen of John Dutton and trying to get them to sell their land and whatever, was keeping an eye on them. He was the one who at one time worked with John and had something of his that he had to return. And it was not pretty. It's not like you're returning something to the store, Neil. This was something that needed to be carved out, if you will. Watch the show, you know what I'm talking about. So thank you, Mary from Florida. I was confused, which happens often. Mm-hmm. But when you really think about it, we are disseminating and analyzing and processing a lot of information here in the Bob Almanac. It's only natural that the brain might go a little haywire and some of those wires get crossed and they might the neurons may misfire.
And for a lot of it, it's on the spot because I don't see or know most of this until we go through it.
You're doing your best, both of us.
Doing our
best. Tuesday, October 17th. The 290th day of the year, this date, 1902.
The only way to travel is Cadillac style. For some people want more, but not just a little bit.
I've never traveled in Cadillac style. I've probably ridden in a Cadillac, and every now and then I'll take a car service down to the state hockey tournament to really kind of kick off the fun and feel important. My good friend David has his own car service, and he has an Escalade. So I guess I have traveled in Cadillac style. I've just never owned a Cadillac.
No, me neither.
But first Cadillac was completed in Detroit, Michigan on this date, 1902.
It was luxury, still are.
It was early on. I would imagine those 1902 ones, by today's standards, weren't that luxurious. But maybe by 1902 standards, they had all the amenities and then some. Mm-hmm. Back in 31.
The king of the gangsters is about to get his, and a lot of Chicago folks are on hand at federal court for a last look at Scarface Al Capone before Uncle Sam puts him away. Here he comes. The big boy himself. What's the hurry, Al? Where you're going, you'll have loads of time.
What's the hurry, Al, as he runs into the courthouse? Al Capone, convicted on this date, the noted mobster, convicted of tax evasion, sentenced to 11 years in prison. That's all they could pin on him.
Right.
He was a very smart mobster.
He was.
Plausible deniability. Nothing connects back to him. That's, if you're a mob boss, that's a key talent to have. If you're able to do that. But then pay your taxes. Be on the up and up. If we learned anything from Al Capone, it's that.
Pay your taxes.
And also avoid the clap. So that was this date, 1931.
You could do neither.
Exactly. So that was 19, or is it gonorrhea? I can't remember. It was one of the ones that eventually killed him.
Yeah.
1966 here this date on television.
Edie Adams, Don Adams, Raymond Burr, Charlie Weaver, Abby Dalton, Wally Cox, Rose Marie, Milton Berle, and Buddy Hackett, all in the Hollywood Square.
And here's your host, Peter Marshall. Hollywood Squares premiered. Now, that's not the first episode. That might be from the 68 season. But those are the kind of stars you could find on the Hollywood Squares. Those are heavy A-listers.
No kidding.
When you consider everybody that's on there. Milton Berle, you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, Wally Cox.
Oh, and Buddy Hackett. Buddy Hackett was in the middle square. This was pre-Paul Lynde.
Paul Lynde, okay.
So 1966, the Hollywood Squares.
I wonder how much it cost to get all those big names together. I mean, they didn't do it for free, I'm sure
of
that.
Right, right. Promotional considerations are paid for by... So, I don't know, they got gift package. You'd think they'd have to give them some money to be there. And to be, because I'll tell you what, Buddy Hackett did not work for nothing.
No.
He was always, looking for a little something in there. But and just Mr. think, Boobie. Could you just imagine how funny that was with those guys?
Oh, it had to be a blast for
Charlie Weaver and Buddy Hackett and Don Adams. And holy cow, just amazing.
It would have been fun.
That was in 66. How about 73?
The Middle East War produced developments all over the world today. The oil-producing countries of the Arab world decided to use their oil as a political weapon. They will reduce oil production by 5% a month until the Israelis withdraw from occupied territories. If the Arab countries keep that pledge, it would reduce their production by almost 50% in 1 year.
This was the oil embargo, the beginning of it, 1973, because Egypt... Israel, Egypt, Syria. Does this sound familiar, Neil? What's going
sure
on
does.
Now? This was Syria, Egypt, and Israel. The big incident took place. Let's see what happened. Western Sport Israel, Egypt, and Syria attacked Israel on October 6, 1973. And then the OPEC nations decided... basically embargo oil against the U.S., Great Britain, because of their support of Israel. And that resulted in shortages here, long lines, very expensive gas. I don't remember it. I was only three.
I think it went up to 35 cents a gallon. It was horrifying.
Yes, yeah.
I was just getting my
It's probably more the shortages. It's probably more the shortage of the gas than the cost of it.
Correct. But yeah, no, I remember it. You know, like I say, I was just starting to drive.
And they're afraid that happened. That's going to happen now with what's going on between Hamas and Israel and the Palestinians and things that could affect things as well. It hasn't yet. In fact, gas prices have actually gone down.
Yeah.
On average.
About $3 more a gallon than it was in 73.
Yes, there is that point, but how does that sit with the actual cost of living and inflation since then?
Yeah,
The value of the dollar.
Yeah,
and
it's probably not too terrible in that respect.
Gross domestic product. How about 1987?
And if you live in the Minnesota Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul on this clear, cool night, the World Series has come to you. To the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome, and for the first time in history, it will be played inside, under a dome of Teflon-coated fiberglass, before a crowd which has been known to make an airport runway seem tranquil by comparison.
Al Michaels with the intro, along with a little music from The Natural, Neil. How nice is that?
Very nice.
First ever indoor World Series game, 1987, Twins, Cardinals... Look out, Whitey Herzog. Your worst nightmares are about to come true.
Yep. We're coming for you.
Remember that first game, just how electric it was? Dan Gladden with the grand slam.
Yes. It was awesome. Won all four games under that Teflon roof, and that was enough to win it all.
And you were just abusing the Metrodome earlier. We might not win 91 or 87 without it, and you were just tearing into it.
We probably don't. Well, it was not a great place to
watch
baseball.
No, you're right. It wasn't. No, it was not. It was covered football stadium with a baseball stadium jammed into it.
Correct.
Basically, it was.
But it worked in those years.
It certainly did. We used it to our advantage, and that's what you ask. A more World Series, and 2 years later, this was a little different tone.
Candy Maldonado with the hesitation, allowing Jose Canseco to score, and he fails to get Dave Parker at
recent birthday
base.
Boy so Tim McCarver there.
I'll tell you what, we have an enough.
Oh, and a little more Al Michaels for you.
Well, I don't know if we're on the air. We are in commercial, I guess.
Yeah, the earthquake hit 89 in the San Francisco Bay Area, 6.9 on the Richter scale, 270 deaths, 3,000 injuries, more than $3 billion in damage. The whole World Series thing, that was... Obviously, not as important as what else was going on. They did have to delay the World Series for several days. They had to check the structural integrity of both stadiums. And the funny thing is, it's a Bay Area earthquake, and it was the Bay Area Series, A's Giants.
Just crazy. Very ironic, and it was surreal watching it.
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah, I was watching it as it happened as well. And then Al Michaels did his best Jim McKay. Where then he went from a play-by-play man or a sports broadcaster into more of a news guy, because then he narrated a lot of the videos, what was going on and things in and around the stadium and around San Francisco. So he did a good job with that.
Very skilled.
We need to remember one of the four tops today.
Every day the sun comes up around her, she can make the birds sing harmony.
One of the great R&B voices ever, Levi Stubbs of the Four Tops.
For sure.
Heaven must have made her just
one of their great songs. I love this one.
When she smiles so warm and tender, a sight for sore eyes to see. Ooh, ain't no woman like the one I've got.
If I had a dollar for every time they appeared on Soul Train, because if you want high ratings, you just put the Four Tops on.
Oh, they were so, so skilled.
Don Cornelius knew that. So 2008, Levi Stubbs passed away at the age of 72. Birthdays.
Young girl, get out of my mind. My love for you.
And his group, the Union Gap, Gary Puckett, 81. He had a long string of hits there, 1960s.
That was my kind of music for the 60s. And then, that's why the later when the Jimi Hendrix and the Pink Floyds and that started to come out, I wasn't as big of a fan. I preferred that.
You preferred Ferry Cross the Mersey, and you preferred Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, and... Dave Clark Five, Jay and the Americans.
Yes.
Spanky and our gang. I mean, there's a lot of good Edison
John
Lighthouse.
John Fred and his Playboy band.
Well, that's another good one. How about the Swinging Medallions?
I don't remember.
How about Question Mark and the Mysterians?
That I remember for sure. Yes.
So Gary Puckett is 81 today.
Well, I'm sure I'd feel much worse if I weren't under such heavy sedation, but still in all, I mean, you've got to be realistic about this sort of thing, you know.
So what happens to the band now?
What do you mean?
He's not going back? Or?
No, we shan't work together again.
He was Spinal Tap. He was a member of Spinal Tap. Very talented. He is musically inclined. And, of course, who could forget him as Lenny of Lenny and Squiggy fame on Laverne and Shirley? I'm talking Michael McKean.
Yeah.
Wonderful actor.
Great actor.
And he played Saul's brother most recently on Better Call Saul. Michael McKean. Hello, can you do a Squiggy impersonation for us?
No.
Hello. It's really easy.
That's
I told you how to do it.
Yeah.
I just showed you. Yeah, that's good. Not bad. Always the timing of that was always perfect.
Right.
Were you more of a Lenny guy or a Squiggy guy? I like Squigman. I like Squiggy. Neither.
Yeah.
Were you a big ragu guy? You liked him dancing, didn't you? You liked how he danced the big ragu. Well, Norm.
Morning, everybody.
Can I pour you a draft, Mr. Peterson?
A little early, isn't it, Woody?
For a beer?
No, for stupid questions.
He's the best, is he not? Any bar would love to have him sitting there for hours upon hours.
Right? And he seldom got drunk. I mean, the guy had incredible tolerance for beer.
Have they ever asked, I'm sure those guys have said in interviews, what they were drinking? Was it just amber-colored water? Probably warm? Because obviously they were consuming it. Because
yeah.
You see them drink it. They probably tried to limit it as much as possible. And of course, I don't think there's any way that legally it could be real beer.
Well, now maybe not in those times, but I will tell you, and this will shock you, but in reading a Gunsmoke book, when they had beer, they were actually drinking beer.
Whoa.
When they were pouring whiskey, it was, you know, colored water.
Ah, so you could drink like beer, but not hard liquor.
That was what, I read.
I only watch Gunsmoke.
Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
I'm a Barbie girl.
By the way, George Wendt, 75 today. Norm Peterson. This is out of order. How did this happen?
I don't know.
Somehow we got the Barbie girl. But Renee Diff. He's got a sister named C. Diff, which I don't know if that's a great name. But Renee Diff from Aqua. Remember Barbie Girl, don't you?
Yeah, I tried to block it out. But
people love this song. They love Aqua. Now, this isn't Aqua's best song from what I'm told. I'm told that they actually have they actually do some pretty good hits, but then songs and actually musically, not so much of a novelty like this one. And of course, sure. This song kind of made the comeback with the whole Barbie movie. And I can't remember if that was in the movie or not, because I've kind of blocked out the fact that I actually went to that movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was dragged there by my wife, Neil.
I know.
She didn't want to go by herself. And I wasn't about to let her go to the movies.
And you stepped up, yeah.
We went,
a good husband would do.
We went to one of those theaters in a sketchy part of town. That's where she was going to go. And so I had to go. It's just for protection.
Right.
I didn't really want to see the movie. I didn't want anything to do with it. So Alan Jackson, 65 today. Didn't we just do a Fave 5 of him?
We did,
yeah.
Last week.
So he's 65 today. We know
Join the club.
We know what he sounds like. Mike Judge, very talented cartoonist, animator, and he did the voice of Hank Hill, among others. Of course, Beavis and Butthead, too.
Now you listen to me, mister. I work for a living, and I mean real work, not writing down gobbledygook. I provide the people of this community with propane and propane accessories. So
yes, and how important is that? not LP. Well, not
no,
he's
no.
He's doing liquid propane, not natural gas.
Right.
He's talking about propane.
Oh, that is too good.
It is. Mike Judge, Hank
Very
Hill,
talented. Yeah.
King of the Hill, is 61. Speaking of talented. How could you forget this tune from NSYNC? I Want You Back. The funny thing is, the NSYNC band, I only know, I think, one of them. Anyway, is this one with Joey Fatone, or is that the other one? I can't get Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, I can't keep them straight.
You'll be shocked to know I have no clue.
This is the one with Justin Timberlake in it. And he's the only, I think he's the only NSYNC guy I know. And one of the founding members of NSYNC, we have him to thank for having NSYNC. He's 52 today. Chris Kirkpatrick.
Time's up, over, loud. Snap back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity. Oh, there goes gravity. Choke, he's so mad.
What do you think of Eminem? Talented?
I prefer Slim Shady.
Well, that's what you can call him. He is the real Slim Shady.
Right.
His name is, and rapper Eminem. He's done a little acting. He's in that movie, 8 Mile. Eminem, 51.
May the force be with us.
And the actress Felicity Jones, 40 today. She was one of the rebels that stole the plans for the Death Star in Rogue One.
Okay.
She's 40 today.
Does that make her a good guy or a bad guy?
Yeah, she's good. She was against the Empire, Neil.
She was
all part of the rebellion.
Okay. Gone but not forgotten. We got a great list. We're going to have to run through some of them real quick. Spring Byington was in Please Don't Eat the Daisies, but for me, she'll always be in Laramie with the, you know, ran with Slim, his ranch, and the way station there. Spring Byington, 1886. Jean Arthur was the lead female in Shane with Alan Ladd, classic Western. What about you all? Everybody remembers and loves Granny from the Beverly Hillbillies.
You ain't got no snow out there. You could run your still year-round.
Run it the year-round here.
Yeah, but walking down through the snow to the still always makes you feel so miserable.
I might feel miserable walking down. The way I feel is coming back makes up for it.
She wasn't shy to take a hit on a big old moonshine jug.
No, she'd have a nip now and then. Irene Ryan played that memorable role, and she was born on this day, 1902. The lovely Rita Hayworth, one of the pinup girls, you know, from the WW2, Rita Hayworth was in Pal Joe and some others, 1918. You remember Tom Poston?
How's it going?
Can't complain.
I mean the inspection.
Oh, well, so far so good. He's not what you'd call a real shark. Half of the things he found wrong, I had to point out to him.
Bob Newhart's handyman there at the Stratford Inn.
He always had kind of the deadpan look, you know, and the look of bewilderment. He did it very well. Emmy award-winning comedian actor Tom Poston was born on this day, 1921. The real singing nun.
That sounds like French to me, Neil.
I think you're right,
Jim.
That is Dominique, her big hit song, 1933, for Luc Gabriel. Sister Luc Gabriel, born on this day, 1933. He broke every bone in his body, probably more than once. Evel Knievel, first name Evel. Last name Knievel, born on this day, 1930.
Did he break his hillbilly bone, though?
Well, that and his drinking bone, certainly he did.
No, yes.
One of the great singers and one of my very favorites, we just call him ETC, Mr. Earl Thomas Conley.
I have held you, girl, but you ain't never made me feel
that man can
so
sing.
And what a head of curly hair. Now, was that naturally curly, or did he use, like, Ogilvy home perm?
I think it was natural.
Yeah,
the wonderfully gifted. He had, you know, 18 number ones in the 80s. Country singer Earl Thomas Conley, 1941. One half of Seals and Crofts. James Seals, man born in Texas.
Summer breeze,
1941. Same as ETC.
Older brother to Dan Seals.
Yes.
In fact, he's the one that came up with a nickname.
Very nice.
Along with Dan.
Along with Dash Crofts, they would form the great Seals and Crofts duet, 1941. The wonderfully, she may always be Lois Lane for me, Margot Kidder.
Easy, miss. I've got you.
You've got me. Who's got you?
That's a question that needed to be asked.
What about Terry Hatcher?
Yeah, I know. That's a toss-up.
They're
right
real
there.
And they're spectacular.
For sure. Margot Kidder there opposite Christopher Reeves in those Superman movies, 1948. From In the Heat of the Night, it's TV theme time. Great television show with Carol O'Connor in the lead role. And ably assisted by Howard Rollins Jr. He was Mr. Tibbs, Detective Tibbs, from In the Heat of the Night. Howard Rollins Jr., 1950. One more very funny guy from 1959, Norm MacDonald.
Well, this coming Monday is Oscar night, and three films, The English Patient, Secrets and Lies, and Shine, are locked in a tight race in the category Best Picture There's Not a Chance in Hell I Will Ever See.
Oh, he had some good ones as the host of the Weekend Update on SNL. And didn't we just lose him within the last year?
Yeah, not very long ago, right? And Norm MacDonald, tragically gone already from the, again, 1959. They're gone, but not forgotten.
Bobathon, we didn't forget that. And you are hosting it, thank God. Brian White, So Much for Pretending. Ricky Skaggs, Lovin' Only Me. Or Martina McBride with her song, I Love You.
Let's go ladies first today.